Wonderful. So I'm hoping that you can either go online to our webpage and it'll take you right to prayer meeting, or there's a phone number if you want to just call it in and just be on the phone. But it's a great time to pray for everybody, so I encourage you to try getting on. We have our food pantry. It's on Wednesdays. We have 11 o'clock is when the gleaning happens, and then if you need to have extra help, if somebody needs help, be sure and have them come. They get a lot of meat at gleaning, which is the best part. So yeah, they do. So if you need an appointment, you can either see Sherry or Helen. And I don't think there's anything. Oh, Chosen. May 15th, we're having our simple potluck and watching episodes 5 and 6. I'm going right to the Bible there. So anyway, it's great. It's a great series. I'm enjoying watching it. So hopefully come and join us. And I think that's it. Does anybody have anything else? Oh, TED service. Saturday, May 7th at 11 o'clock. And then we will have a potluck afterwards. So be sure and come and support Debbie and family. And yes, it was. Ted loved his potlucks. So we will definitely be celebrating him. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for today. We're thankful for the beautiful sunshine that you've given us. We just praise you that we have this place to come and just worship you. We just lift Pastor Dave up to you today, Lord, and just thank you that you have put something on his heart to share with us, Lord, and we just open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. Lord, and as we sing praises to you, just let our voices be music to your ears. We just love you, we praise you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to stand and go to our call to worship. And it is John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Amen. Sweet for the royal diadem.
Bye. Good morning, church. Feels weird not to have been here for a few Sundays in a row, but I'm glad to be back with you in person. Our whole family is feeling much better. It's time today to get my helper here, evidently. Are you going to help me? Your stomach is really rumbly. Oh, why don't we thank God for food then while we're taking a minute to thank Him? Will you help me thank Him for food? Okay. You ready?
We're going to sing a prayer for the offering.
Father, Lord, thank you for your providence in so many ways. Lord, even just in food and fellowship, but even so in finances. Lord, you know that this world runs on money. And we know who tries to run this world, but we know really where all the currency flows from. Thank you for providing what we need to make it through every day. We get to serve you. Amen. Looked like Linda was online watching with us. Good morning, Linda. Yeah, I think I saw her there. I want to show up and just start off our prayer time with the praise that I get to be here today. I'm feeling well enough. Dr. Jones, we're not contagious anymore. We're moving on. But I'll tell you, the head cold that I got knocked me down a few rungs. Man, I had to come home every day from work once I wasn't contagious to sleep pretty much. 2 or 3 weeks. It was just awful. And yes, I got tested during that time for COVID 3 times, always negative. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, it wasn't COVID. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of, all the, like the doctor said, all the little bugs are happy we're getting back together too. So that's what's going on. But anyway, so praise that my family and I can be here today. A huge praise that we had a great celebration for my parents' 50th anniversary yesterday. They've made it 50 years in one day. Hopefully another 50 years. I can be optimistic, right? So, Anyone else, a praise or a prayer request to share with the church family today? Lori. Family time is the best. Yes. And COVID is, you know, pretty much over, and so traveling not so hard. So, what a blessing, right? Yeah. So Lori was celebrating getting to go and spend time with grandkids in Georgia. That's her praise. And then connecting differently on a flight home to see a daughter and son-in-law, right? So yes. Anyone else have a creative prayer request? Jeremy. Jeremy's having a little outbreak of hives right now, and he's asking for prayer that those would go away. Absolutely. He's taking some Benadryl. Continued prayer for Jim and Lori Cooper as they go through their struggles right now, and continue prayer for your son Leo, who's in the middle of cancer treatments, right? Has he had two already now? Three. Just had his third. You'll have to forgive me. I've kind of been in a black hole of being sick. Yeah. I need to try. So prayer for a date for Lori Cooper's surgery, so that Lori can be a little more at peace knowing that it's planned. Okay. Anybody else? Another prayer request or praise? Carolyn. Okay. So Carolyn would like prayer as she continues to fight depression that is bothering her right now. And so, Holy Spirit, come and touch your heart and mind with peace and encouragement. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I would like to just say to everybody who came yesterday, thank you for coming. You were such a blessing to my family and to me and to my mom and dad. It was a great celebration. And it was what I love seeing in the living room down there. It's what it's for. So, all right, let's go together as a church family. Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings you provide. We thank you for just being the God who sees us, the God who unconditionally loves us, the God who watches us do silly, stupid things and still says, I love you. Being the God who just, regardless of all our foibles and faults, would die again to pay the price for our sins. Thank you for being God, so we don't have to try and be. Lord, forgive us when we do try to be God, to try to second guess your plans in our lives and the lives of others, and when we are controlling or when we're unkind. Lord, forgive us when we're short. Lord, thank you for the many gifts you've given this church body this morning. Lord, for family, for extended church family, for employment, for the opportunities to serve, for the ministries that still go on from this church, that are your hands and feet to this community. Lord, thank you for this community to be a part of. But thank you most for employment, for homes, for cars, for the way to live our lives and we're accustomed. Lord, let us not take these things for granted, but let's remember they are tools for your kingdom. So thank you, Lord, for these gifts, and thank you for these provisions that we can eat, drink, celebrate who you are in our lives, and share that love with others. And now, Lord, we lift up this church body, Lord. We lift up Jim and Lori Cooper. We lift up Leo Hesselgesser. Lord, we lift up Linda, who can't be here today, Lord, and Josh, who is absent from our midst as well. And Lord, we just thank you for all those people who could come and celebrate with church family yesterday. And Lord, just be with each one of us in our journeys of health. Reach down, heal our minds, heal our bodies, take away our depressions, take away our sadness, and return to us a new joy every morning. And Lord, I lift up the leaders of this great nation, local, state, national. Father God, knock on the doors of their hearts. Bring them wisdom. Bring them courage. Bring them strength. Lord, return us to being a shiny city on a hill in this world, as you have commanded and provided us to be. But Lord, let us bend the knee to you first, to let our little light shine. So Lord, recapture the hearts of all of our leaders, that your blessings might flow through their choices and actions to all of the people of the world. Amen. You guys haven't had that for a couple weeks. Are you ready for children's church now? Father God, thank you for these children, Lord. I know it might seem this prayer somewhat self-serving, but Father, they are yours. Thank you for the opportunity to teach them who you are. And Lord, with the servants that are going to teach them today, Lord, their Sunday school teachers, Lord, please give them the wisdom to know exactly how to reach into the heart of these children, And now, really quick, I will introduce our guest speaker, Dave Marble, who's going to come and fill in for Teresa today.
How many family members here remember who I am? No, okay. Yeah. We're all family. We're all family. The older we get, the more all family we are. That's way it is. I'm really glad to be here. When Judy called me earlier in the week, I thought, you know, I need to do this. So I'm glad to be here for all kinds of different reasons. It was fun to come down the hill off of the highway, you know, like I was headed to the beach, and see that only after a couple days the dust still rolls in the back of the car. You know, it doesn't have to be without rain very long, and that's the way it is. And what do I need to help you with the microphone here? Here's a little feedback. You want me to hold it? Would it be better? Or okay. All right, how's that? All right. They're nodding their head. They're not covering their ears, so we're good. All right. So as we begin today, I think I have all these memories that come from this community and all my experience that have happened since and, you know, all those things. I mean, it's not like I haven't been here for a long time, but I haven't been in this capacity here for a long time. I remember being here for 1 8-week period when my dad was traveling in New York around with mom, and so I remember that experience here and people, you know, and all those kinds of things too. So this is a good experience, a good reminding experience for me. I'm a country boy at heart. Even though I only lived in Gales Creek for 6 years, I have always counted those as being significant years in my life. Always. And when we moved to Forest Grove, I didn't like it. Okay. For one thing, I was a teacher's pet in the first grade here. Okay. And that was a delicious experience. Okay. And then going to Forest Grove, where there's just so many kids. I mean, they actually had 2 second grades, in, you know, so that's overwhelming. And having to walk to school and, you know, do new and different things. So anyway, I never forgot my experience here and always had roots in this community, and it was a great place to grow up and to be a part of. I remember just a couple of quick memories. One, when I was 16 years old, my dad let me preach my first sermon. Okay. I even remember what it was about. We were in the middle of a building campaign because this was a sanctuary here, and you've probably heard the story many times. You walk in the front doors here, and the pulpit was at that end. Okay, so this was all turned around, and lots of history here. And the bell, of course, was rung at the back of the church. And that's the way it was done. And the other thing that I remember a lot was my dad had this fantastic welcoming, non-judgmental spirit. And the girls would come in from the strawberry fields, which was, of course, always a delight to the guys, not for strawberry reasons. And dad welcomed them to come in because they came in right off the row. Okay, now, if you've ever picked strawberries, you need to know, especially if it's a hot day or a wet day, you come in and you're not nice to look at. Okay? I mean, the strawberries cake to your knees, you know, and mud, and you feel dirty, and the girls are self-conscious, but the community loved those people. Okay? And it was a great experience for all of us to be that welcoming and that open to whatever it was. And it was wonderful for Mel Holberg at that point to help get the girls here so that they could have that experience. And some of these are people that I know to this day. I haven't seen for a long time, but I know them to this day. And so there's some roots here that, you know, I bet there are still people today who drive over this road out here and they say, I remember when, you know, that church took me in or did whatever it was that was done at that particular point in our lives. Bill was explaining something to me this morning, and it made me think of my own current situation. I don't want you to ever think of me in terms of being a store manager, but I manage a Habitat for Humanity Restore in St. Helens. But that's, I don't want that to ever define me. Okay? Now, it does some people at home in St. Helens, does, but it just has to happen that way because of what it is. But, you know, looking out across the grounds here and everything, and I could, you know, I know a little bit of the story about what's gone on in the congregation and everything else, and I feel for you in all kinds of different ways. And I have this volunteer that and it's happened multiple times, will come into the store and say, I see the need to do this. And I'll say, you go for it. Knowing full well that area is going to look really sharp for a short time. Because those people are going to be moving on in life to do other things. Maybe they'll have a family move that comes up. And so I have learned to just accept the fact and enjoy the people as we have them in front of us. Can you get anything out of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you just love it all, you know, and be thankful for it. I wish sometimes, and don't you wish that you could say, this is whatever this year is, choose one, say 19, how about 2010, okay, whatever happened during that year, say, I want all those people in church that were here in 2010. You know, so you could just hug them all and love them all, and it would be so refreshing to your spirit. But it's not going to happen, okay? You want it to, because of all the good memories that you might have, or whatever it is that built upon that. But we get to do something else instead, and that's, we get to keep making new memories, okay? Let's hear it for 50 years. Let's hear it for 50 years and 2 days, you know? More memories to build. For sure, that's an option for us to do. That's an option for us. So enjoy people as they come your way, and allow God to work in their lives and be a part of that, and we move on to do other things. One day it may be us that moves on, and so then we always have to take courage and have the heart to say, God, this is much bigger than me. This is you. And trust God to follow that. So, what I want to share with you today is, I'll give you an illustration. I once, as probably a 19 or 20 year old, went to my grandmother, Rosa Anderson, who would see, she'd be playing the organ or the piano there. Okay. We gathered to the bathroom. I remember visiting her at her home. Everybody loved to go to Grandma's house to spend the night. And I was in college at that point, so I wasn't spending the night, but just stopping to visit and pay Grandma, you know, a visit. And I asked her about some issue I was going through in my life and whatever it was, and she said, well, Dave, just have faith. And that bugged the daylights out of me, okay? And I want to tell you why. It's because I felt like it was trite and a cliche answer, okay? And it did nothing for me, okay? You could say, just have faith. It'd be like telling somebody who is badly in debt, just make more money. Okay, so does that mean robbing banks is legitimate? You know, what's that mean? So just have faith wasn't enough. And so I know what I think she was trying to tell me, and it was every bit as valid as any statement could be, but it lacked muscle, okay? And for some of you who've been raised in the church or whatever, when people say cliches, they need to be not cliches. They need to have legs to them so that they can go somewhere and something can happen, because just having faith or just be happy doesn't cut it when you need those things and you're asking serious questions. So I thought and I wrestled with this for a long time. And then later, directing youth camps, I began to ask the question, how do you impart faith to your children? I mean faith that matters. I mean the faith that says, okay, so here you are in a desperate situation. How can you keep yourself from going nuts? You know, you really want to have faith and faith that works, okay? And a cliche isn't going to make it. So what does that look like? How are you going to have that kind of faith? Explain it.
I said, where? Well, it turns out I was reading this book about it, and it was defining faith as something you could impart to kids in their home life or whatever, as faith as a noun, okay? So you're going to impart faith by doing these things and teaching kids about the Bible and all these things. But I, to my thinking, I rejected that because I don't want to teach them how to be Baptists or, you know, whatever. I want them to have faith. I want them to know how to make that work in their own lives. So that book didn't work for me. So I still haven't found one. But I've struggled with this because I wanted there to be an answer. How do you impart faith from one person to another? How can you do that? How can you take a person who's going through difficult things and make things work? Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute about how we can blow it in the sharing of our faith. Okay? So, this is really interesting to me. Somebody had this observation, and it's true at least some of the time, with teenagers. Okay, so let's talk about for just a minute some of the issues that teenagers are facing today. And everybody has a list, okay? No matter how old you are, you have a list of things that you're going through. You can't help it. You and I are probably going through things right now that bug us that we don't even know how to talk about, okay? Because we're so close to them and they're hitting us so strangely and they affect us so deeply, we just don't know what to do with it. So here's the issues that teenagers are facing today. Some of these will say, yeah, that was me, you know, well, basically. They suffer from negative body image, okay? That's what kids do. They long to belong to supportive and accepting communities beyond their family. Okay, it's not just enough for their families. They experience stress and difficulty prioritizing and managing their time. Is that hard for anybody here? That's for me. They feel lots of pressure from peers, parents, and society to conform to conflicting expectations. You know, this is what mom and dad expect. This is what church expects. This is what school expects. This is what the locker room expects. This is what, you know, on and on. They are at risk of mental and physical health issues. They lack good mentors, role models, and heroes. They are tempted to begin unhealthy patterns with drugs and alcohol. They're exposed to on-screen violence and unhealthy social media. You know, what's really interesting is that as I was studying this, I looked at Europe and the issues that teenagers face over there are different than what we do here because our society is a little bit different. Okay? So the amount of violence we see and so on is different in America than it is in other countries. They face bullying, okay, online and off. And then there's the whole hormone thing, okay, that's in there all the time, which is really big. So those are all things that kids face all the time. So if they're facing all of those things, then how does faith work into that? And that was my question for my grandma. Okay? She couldn't answer that because she didn't know how. Okay? Because those are big questions. Okay? It was impossible for her to say, okay, Dave, you want the long answer? Okay, which I'm still working on in my own life. Or do you want the short answer? Dave, I think you need to go home. No. Some of this you just are going to have to experience. You know, I do have a little dating story to tell you, though. This guy and this gal, they're both teenagers and they're out in the country. And they're on a date, and he has a family farm, and she has a family farm, and so they're just driving. He feels like snuggling a little closer, so he moves a little closer to her. And finally, he's driving by this pastor, and he pulls over, and he says kind of wishfully, kind of sort of under his breath, as he sees a cow and a calf out in the pasture, and they're nuzzling each other, and he goes, "I wish I could do that." And she says, "Go ahead, it's your cow." So, how do we get to the point where we can help somebody go through all these things that they're going through? You know, I suppose there's one solution, and that is to move away from everybody so you don't have anybody else to be negatively influenced by. Time to go to Hermitville, USA. That doesn't work. Okay, I mean, there's some good things about that. You could even say, well, it's time to turn off all the distractions that we can, like get rid of the media, because we're bombarded with that all the time. Does anybody here other than me remember getting up every day and hearing Vietnam on TV? That influenced me forever. Or how about knowing what to do in the case of a nuclear blast? Okay? I remember training for that at school. You know, when we heard the stuff in the news all the time, we were being bombarded by all that stuff influences the psyche, okay, of who you are. Somehow underneath all of that, all those things that we face, is this need to not only have, but to build faith in the life of a person. Okay. So on this list that probably came from a ungodly person is a person's religious faith. Okay. So what can happen very easily in our lives and the lives of other people is that we can pop religion on there like a really good week at camp, which I firmly believe in, okay, and actually load the kid up with more difficulty than they're able to handle when they get home. Isn't that amazing? But what if we said, well, this is what you're going through, which is what I encourage in camp all the time, not that I am any better than anybody else. But as I began to think about it, I began to realize this is where the kids are at. And so if this is where kids are at, how much more are we where we are at? Okay. So where are we really at in our own lives? Where are we really at in our own lives? And what do we do with it? And therein is the question. What will we do? So what is faith? How does faith work with this? Is it some terrible band-aid you put on that's got some terrible stinging stuff that you just can't stand? Or is it something that fits and works in the life of the individual? That's what I want it to be. That's what I want. That's what I need it to be. I don't need something that isn't more than something that digs deeper than all the things that we face. I know what I face, but I don't have foundations. You know, it needs to be something that quiets the soul and all the things that you're looking at. Okay. It had better not just be a new song. It had better not be just a whole bunch of stuff piled on. Do you realize that in our lives, as Christians or non-Christians, whatever it is, even godly things can hurt us? Okay? Let me give you an illustration of this. You can get so out of balance so easy. Let's say that you really, really somehow have psyched yourself into needing to know when the last days of the world are going to be. Okay. If you have got yourself a little overly focused on that, even though Revelation is good and Daniel is good and all those books are good, you can actually ignore your wife while you're studying end times. See what I'm saying? Even though all those things can be so terribly interesting, and you can preach it while a world is hurting all around you, what's the point? See, that's out of balance. And when you look at the life of Christ, you begin to see this is what's the most important. What did Jesus come to do? Well, he took 12 people and he loved on them. Okay? And he helped them to live their daily experience. And he showed them what who God really is through himself and through what he was doing himself. And he opened up their eyes to things that had never seen before. And suddenly it was no longer politics or when was the next Israeli kingdom going to come into play. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with God living through your life and my life and how we could impart that to a world around us who was desperately hungry. I'll never forget once when I went to a missionary commission. And I was so encouraged by this because my heart was just ready to hear it. And I was just so encouraged by what he said. This gal who was doing commissioning had a missionary come forward or whatever. She said, I want you guys to understand something. You will see the fruit of this. She said, you are not going to the mission field to take God. She gets it. Now I get it too. She confirmed. You know, confirmations are really good when you get them like that. And it's just so exciting because suddenly it became even more clear when somebody put into words what I knew in my heart to be true. God wants to work on us where we're really at. So stop and think about this for just a minute. Let's say that you are called to the United States to be a missionary. Okay? And you spoke Portuguese. Okay? How are you going to communicate with this people? Find out what God's doing in their life. Okay? Find out what their teenagers are going through. Find out what their adults are going through. Find out what their retired seniors are going through. Figure it out and help. Be a part of that, because that's where their heads are at. Their heads are not going to be at, okay, I think that we all should start having Portuguese holidays. Okay. It's not going to work, folks. Their lives are already full. They don't need a Portuguese holiday. Okay. Or I think you should all start wearing Portuguese attire. You know, whatever it is, that's not what they need. This is not about bringing people to Portugal. It's about finding out what God's already doing in their life and what they're worried about. So if you can pull from this a little bit, then you think about the whole missionary field and you realize there are people who've never heard the word of God. So how do you know God's working in their life? Well, what are they going through? Is it survival? No. Are there intertribal warfares? Are there people who are just depressed all the time or not going through whatever it is, discouraged? You know, in America right now, it's really interesting. There's a quiet little truth that nobody talks about, and that is that most people get up every day in despair. Nobody talks about it. Why? Because it's too painful. It is. But there's this quiet despair. And we all get up and say, I really don't want to get up today. I'd rather stay in bed. So how are we going to turn that around? And find the courage to say, I want to get up because I've got people to help and minister to. I want to change the world around me. I want to be a part of the difference. You see, it's quite one thing in all the behaviors that we can have in life, we can all have bad ones. Are we can say to ourselves, and this is what teenagers hate. The sermon is not about teenagers, but adults can do. They just do not like rules and regulations. Okay? You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you mustn't do this, act like this. But what is missing in all that message is that, okay, now I know what I can't do, but who is there to tell me what I can do? Okay, and what's the purpose of that? So then you discover what you can do, but that isn't good enough in itself until you can see it's for a higher purpose and a value. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, to love your neighbor as yourself. To give yourself away. To know that you have boundaries, to be able to love yourself and to do it in such a way that you can say, I need to rest now, and for that to be okay. That's all part of what it means to be a godly individual. So it's not about just saying no to yourself, because self-denial is good, but it's also wasteful if it goes too far. Because you're a perfectly normal and good, healthy human being who is not probably designed to be in a monastery all your life, hidden from everybody. It doesn't work. You've got grandchildren, things to do, you know, children, all those things. So your life is full. We all just have the opportunity to have it be balanced. And that's what Jesus came to do. Remember the story in John chapter 10. There's this wonderful statement Jesus makes, and he's talking about the sheep and being the good shepherd. And he's just talking about the wrong shepherd who the sheep's voice they do not recognize. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Okay. And so then he says something very stirring. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The big statement. That's what he really wants. That's what he really wants. For people to have a more abundant life. That's amazing. That's what God wants. The creator of heaven and earth. All around us, society has a tendency, or we do this ourselves, we beat ourselves up for our failures. God is saying, no. Wait a minute. You're going to make lots of mistakes. You're going to be Peter. You're going to be Paul. I'm not going to say Mary. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Yes, you know. You're going to be King David. You're going to be whoever in the Bible you can think of that made a lot of mistakes, which is most of them. Okay? And that's okay. Because God's still going to be there. And that we get to take to the world around us. So how does this work with faith? How does this work with faith? Okay. So faith and self-confidence, and I'm almost done here. I don't have much time to look at what day of the week we need to go. Okay. So how do you build faith? Okay. So faith comes from can often stem from self-confidence, okay? So in other words, the more things that you do that you're good at and you get better at, the easier it is to have faith in your own life. But it's really, really hard for kids today when they can't have a sense of succeeding, okay? And if you or I, in our past experience in our life, had stacked up failures all the time in our experience, expressed or not expressed, sometimes your parents just whatever they did, expected too much or too little, whatever it is you might do. Or a school teacher, perhaps, where things just didn't work out well and you just had to really shift gears and work hard to get over that. But the more successes that you can have, the more successes that you can have, the easier it is to have faith, because it builds confidence in your mind. Okay? So one little thing that you can do to feel better is better than doing nothing. For example, how many of you here make lists? Okay, anybody here a big list maker? My mother was the list maker par excellence. She could make a list. My brother does the best of one. Thank you, brother Bill. So she could make a list. And the thing that I admired about that was she made a list. She never did much with it, but she made a list. But I've learned in my life, okay, that I too can make a list. And the secret, one of the secrets that my mother had about making a list is that a list got it all out of you. Okay, you can get it out on paper, and that gives you the freedom to ignore it all. That gives you the freedom. You know, sometimes in life, we have to admit that we're not going to get it all done. And we need to just say, okay, so this is what's on my mind and it's bugging me, so now I'm going to do one thing. Just one thing. And maybe just making the list will give you the freedom to relax for a minute. You won't do any of it. And you need to do that too. Okay? I can't tell you what to get rid of in your life or what not to get rid of. That's not for me to say. But I know that we have a lot of stuff going on in our lives. But is there room for people? You know, that's the question we really need to ask. Is there room for people? Now, having said that, and knowing we can also leave room for just ourselves sometimes too. Remember, Jesus, so to speak, got tired of the pressure of the crowds and went off by himself. Okay, we all need that. No question about that. Some of us need a little more than others. You need that downtime to be alone. And maybe that's what my mother was doing with her list, you know, just getting it out, all out on paper. And I respect her for that, but I also know that in my own life I have to do something on the list. Okay? Tackle one thing. Even if, and here's the problem. This is why we don't even start on our list sometimes. Because as soon as we start one thing on our list, we create three more that need to go on it. You know what I mean? Okay, so you can say, I need to go outside and mow the lawn. When you get outside and mow the lawn, you realize the trees need to be pruned. Okay, so now all the joy of mowing the lawn goes out the door, and you need, the firewood needs to be stacked differently. Or, you know, or I really need to wash the car because you happen to notice that through fresh eyes, or whatever it is, and the list just keeps growing until finally you say, I don't want to do any of it. Okay. But do something. Okay. And that will help build confidence. And yet you're always going to have a list. Make sure that on that list there's a line that says, always room for the people around me. That's the most important thing. Who cares about all the external? The older you get, the more you realize it's not important. When we're young, especially young adults, we're all about building a kingdom for ourselves. Okay? This is Dave's world, whatever it is. And I want it to look like the best. It needs to have the best of whatever it is. None of that's really important as you get older. What's really most important is how well are you doing with what you got? You know, what's that look like? So when Abraham's ready to make a really big mistake in his life and he's thinking about himself, maybe he should be saying, okay, so what is it I really need to be thinking about this situation here? You know, and Peter would slow down a little bit and say, okay, now, what should I really be responding to this rooster that's crowing all the time? What should I really be thinking? And Jesus comes along and he just nails it right on the head. There's not this long lecture about to Peter about how he's just full of himself or stupid or anything else like that. He says simply, feed my sheep. Get to work. It's right in front of you. Just go do it. Wow. That's how much God believes in us. That is amazing to me that he could even do that. It's amazing. We mustn't allow ourselves to be full of ourselves. Okay? On one end, it can be very, it brings a story to mind. So I'll tell it. So this guy is he's a very, very, very arrogant individual, full of himself, always right, judgmental, has to win every conversation, even if it's a normal conversation, he has to butt in and turn it into an opinion session, and then he's always got the right one. You know, that kind of individual. Well, one night he falls asleep and he dreams that he's died and gone to heaven. Miracle in itself, huh? And so he meets St. Peter at the door, and St. Peter says, well, okay, so you're here. Let's see if I can find your name. And they have to look and look and look. And finally they say, well, we found your name. It's your surprise. But you're here, and I have my orders to take you, to show you anything you want to see. So he said, well, I want to see the general offices. And St. Peter's saying, why in the world would you want to see the general offices? People want to see how God created the world. They want to walk on streets of gold. They want to sing in a heavenly choir. You want it? Never mind. I have my orders. Okay, well, we'll see him. And they walk into this huge, massive room. And this room is full of happy workers. They're singing songs. They're enjoying what they're doing and just having a great time. And way, quarter of a mile away, there's this little tiny door, at least it looks small from that distance, on a far wall. And this guy says, I want to go there, St. Peter. So they walk over to this wall so far away, and they open up the door, and they look inside, and it's just a huge room full of what looked like clocks. And the guy said, what in the world are these for? I said, well, you must know, those are sin meters. Okay, every time, everybody has one, and every time somebody sins, it registers it. This guy's going, I know a neighbor who just hates me. Let's go find his. So they go over and they look at it. And it's just bumping along like this, you know, pretty steady. And St. Peter says, that guy's got some real issues in his life. You know, one of his neighbors. Which is about as much as he could get away with. And then guy says, where's my saintly grandmother's? And so they go find her dial on a wall, and the dial is quivering once in a while. And St. Peter says, she was on the verge of a bad thought about something, I don't know what, and she suppressed it. So this guy's saying, you know, I want to see mine. St. Peter says, it's not in this room. They didn't use it in the front office for a fan.
Oh,
no. We can't risk being full of ourselves. God is here for us. And he really, really wants to make a difference in our life. So, faith. Find the muscle. I believe it's like it's a spiritual muscle that we have. And to apply that in our life, you have to take baby steps to make it work, to try this. Now, everybody does this every day, and it's really simple. I'll tell you one of the things that I have in my life where this is faith very simply applied. It's the refrigerator. Okay? This is where faith can begin in my life on a daily basis. And the top of the refrigerator is a freezer. It's 10:30 at night. There's ice cream in there. Okay? Did you know that I have discovered that I will wake up the next morning if I don't eat it? Did you know that? That's a simple illustration of faith. You're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You walk over to the light switch and you flip it and the light comes on most of the time. Okay? It takes faith to do that. A grandchild is on the couch and you say, or your own child, jump, Daddy will catch you. And he jumps completely trusting. I would no way want to be on somebody's shoulders right now, getting the shoulders up. But I trusted as a kid. I think I remember Fred and Dick throwing me around. See what kind of noise he makes when he drops. No. So trust is learned. It's a learned thing, and I think that we forget that all the time. And so faith is also learned. And that's what I want us to all know. It's learned. There's nothing wrong with you or me if we have to learn it. We're completely normal and healthy. We have to learn faith. Sometimes you see, in our spiritual exuberance, we feel like we should have it and there's something wrong if we don't. And that's where the rub comes in, and then we have guilt to deal with. Okay? And that does not work in a person's life. But instead, we can do something else. So, my encouragement to all of you today, and to me today too, is to look at who you really are. Okay? This is what I'm going through. This is who I am. And to say to yourself, I'm normal. Okay? And therefore, because I'm normal, I can face things one at a time. Grow the faith muscle. There's one thing all of us need to know throughout all of our lives, whether it's a two-year-old who's just slipped and fallen and has got a boo-boo on the elbow. Needs mothers, you're going to be okay. They think they're going to die, but they're going to be okay. Has anything changed? We still need to know if we're going to be okay. And so, if we're going to be okay, why not invite others to be okay around us? We're going to be okay. It might be rough getting there, but that's okay. We may need friends. That's okay. We may need to talk about it. That's okay. We may feel and look a little strange as we're going through, but that's okay. How much better if we have something real to impart than just a cliche? That's pretty good. Thank you, God, for giving us something to feel today and something to do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us just like we are, for understanding us like we are, and for seeing even better in us than this world wants us. Lord, help us to sort out the things that are worth thinking about and jump the rest. Thank you, Lord, for this people, this church, for
changes that have gone on in my life here. For part of a big legacy and a picture we don't even see or understand. But in faith. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of my grandmother. Most assuredly happened in this building. For me, for my brothers and sisters. For all those who have gone before. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of the people who dedicated this building when it was first built. We prayed probably that every person who comes in this building might be touched and know that they've run into the living God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless that thought, Lord. In your name we pray.
All right, we're going to close with Majesty. Stand up, please. About to say that, didn't I?
And to him who is able to do more than we can imagine. Lord, lead us from this place back into the locations you have provided us to live and the neighborhoods and friends that we are exposed to every day. Father, shine through us, not that we blind others with that light and make them feel guilty of the shadows in their lives, but that the light is warm and draws them to you through us and helps their shadows disappear. Let us walk in the light this week.